To the Sports Reverends Podcast. My name is Dan. I'm joined with Coach Joel. He's my big bro. He's coached around the world. He coaches many greats like myself. We're excited to be back for our newest season. I think we're on season 5 now. Been away for a little bit. You know, when we come back and we start our new seasons after being away for a while, I get that... I get that Goku music that
that's the one I'm feeling
pumped up for this season. I love our direction of what we're doing at our show. I know when some people look at us, they might think of this though. They might think of this music. See, you did it already. You already did the head bob. I saw it.
I said, didn't do any headphones.
You did a little. You did a little bit.
That's so rude.
But that's okay. At our show at Sports Reverence, we have our unapologetic faith. We have hot sports takes. We have a lot of fun, and we just want to encourage you all along the way in Christian living. Sports has been a huge part of our background. Sports has been taught us many lessons on how to grow and develop as. different leaders and coaches and all those kinds of things, and it's helped us develop in our faith as well. And the faith has been super important, the most important part of our life. So Coach, why don't you share a little bit and how are you doing and then we can get into the rundown.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm happy to be back. We're missing our cream filling of the Oreo cookie here, but that's all right.
That's right. He's on sabbatical, I think.
Oh gosh! Bro's got four kids, so
sports reverend sabbatical is what I'm saying. So,
bro's got four kids, so don't blame him for that. Brand new year. It's been busy. Looking forward to being more intentional this year with my faith and whatever God's got in store. God's got in store, and we'll see what happens.
Awesome.
How are you?
Yeah, this year's, I can't believe it's already March. We're heading up to Easter already. I can't believe that. So definitely trying to walk by faith even more and just trusting God and all that we do. And all these lessons we learned through sports, you know, I hope it, as it has encouraged us along the way, I hope it encourages others as we get to share. So why don't you give us a little bit of rundown of the show and rundown of what we're talking about, and then we'll hit some quick hitters.
Great. Quick hitters, as we talked about, we're doing a little reintroduction of what we're trying to do here on this podcast and kind of recentering where we are as it's been a couple of years. So that's always a good time. And we're going to talk about preparation. Something we really didn't do for this show, but somehow managed to put together. But preparation and how it impacts sports and how it impacts life. So why don't you start us off with our first quick hitter?
All right, let's go. Our quick hitter news. Chicago Bears' Jalen Johnson has agreed to a 4-year, $76 million deal with $54 million guaranteed.
That is a lot of cheddar, though he's stuck in Chicago. 2027 All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game, is headed to Phoenix. Will this team even be around by then? Who knows?
Do we care about the All-Star Game? I don't know. We had a lot of chat about how to fix the All-Star Game, but we never shared it with anybody. Number 3, 2024 MLB season starts in Korea with Dodgers versus Padres from March 2021. That's very cool.
Yeah, those would be some fun days, and I'm sure the ratings would be through the roof. They don't know about the time zones, though. True. This applies to your Cowboys, so it makes things a little easier for them. The salary cap in the NFL has jumped by $30.6 million to $255.4 million this year.
We'll give that bump probably a half thank you to Taylor Swift and the Swifties, because they brought all that TV money. Russell Wilson, will be released on March 13th and will count for $85 million in dead cap space. They also released someone else, one of the safeties, Pro Bowl safeties in Denver as well. Yeah. So that's pretty big. Before we go any further, let's handle some business. Wanted to share about Urban Hope. Urban Hope is the mentorship program that I get to run in downtown Toronto. It's a mentorship program where it's kids helping kids. We are in a marginalized neighborhood in downtown called the St. Lawrence. And basically, we have programs that allow kids to have a safe place to come and hang out, to study, do their homework. We have programs for youth and kids that happen throughout the week. And we also have our summer camps that are available for the whole neighborhood, and they're affordable summer camps. We only charge $10 per child for the whole week. That's comparable to the city camps that charge $200 per child per week. We want every kid to be able to come to camp, and that's why we want to make it affordable, and we try our best to provide the best possible stuff as well. On top of the teaching the mentorship skills, we also want to teach about the faith and teach about how God is the most important part of our lives. And if they want to make that choice, we want to give them that opportunity to do so and walk them through those steps as well, and help guide them that way. If you're interested in supporting this program, we would love your help. You can go to the sportsreverends.com/sponsorships, and you can see all the information about Urban Hope and all the ways you can help and all the different things you can do. We are still in the process with our basketball program that we're putting together, and we're excited just to see another outlet to serve and help these kids develop, not only on the court, but also off the court. And coach is going to be a big part of that. So if you're able to support any kind of way, huge help. You're making a huge difference. You're saving and changing lives. So thank you for supporting. All right, coach.
Awesome. Well, I've been around for almost 5 years now, maybe a little longer on the timeline, but season 5 here. And I've been able to jump in with you guys for a couple of years now, and it's been a lot of fun. But why don't you tell us, Daniel, a little more about what, as we kind of talk about preparation and recentering and refocusing, what are we about here? What's the whole point of this podcast? It has evolved a little bit over time, but I think the main tenets have been the same. So why don't you fill us in?
Yeah, I guess when me and Drew started this was 2019, I guess. And we were just passionate about sports. We wanted an outlet to share our sports thoughts, and we wanted to have a lot of fun with it. And both of us are reverends, and we really didn't have that kind of idea added into it. We were calling ourselves a sports reverends, but we never really talked about the faith side of things. As our conversations developed, it was just natural for us to bring our faith side of things into it, as there's so much relation in sports and faith, and so much relation in all that we do, because it's part of everything that we do. It's the most important part of our lives, right? So as we've decided to continue forward, we're like, hey, this is such we started getting more audience, started getting more people listening. And we're like, hey, this is a great platform to reach people that, you know, may not be ready to go to church yet, or maybe they've been away from church for a while, or maybe this is just a great people for people that are Christians that want to listen to some sports news, but also have the faith side along with it as well. And with that being said, it's just developed that way, and we've had chances to share on all different kinds of topics and kind of mirror it with scripture and how it works in our world today, with all the political stuff going on, the sports and politics that has been mashed together. And we wanted to bring a side that shared basically the love of Christ through it all. And that's what the gospel is all about. And that's what we've been doing for the last few years now. And we've had great feedback. We've had great growth in our viewership and requests for more and more stuff when we take breaks. And yep, we're going to keep our best way to roll going forward, you know, even if Drew's on sabbatical, a sports rev sabbatical, we'll get him back eventually. But yeah, I think we can hold it down for now.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, I think that's really a great succinct way of saying what we want to do. And it's been a pleasure and an honor to do this with you guys. So looking forward to, you know, we may not have, you know, money rolling in, but God doesn't need that to make things work. So we're talking about preparedness. We're good to jump to that. And viewers, OG viewers, I call them Beauchamp, to our new ones, I want you guys to close your eyes. Sit back. Picture 5'9½" Joel, a little bit of a Buddha belly going on, grade 9, it's 2001, and you're hitting the fresh linen Christian basketball court, and you have been running and sweating, and now it's time to learn the inbounds play. The inbounds play. One that's been talked about for years and years and years, and should be, I don't know if it still is, but should be a Lyndon Christian staple, because this thing is money. Screen the screener. Daniel dropped it in his message the other week, and for those of you who go to Lyndon, who've been coached by either one of us, you guys know screen the screener. And it's really about a play about misdirection, right? There's a couple moving pieces. There's three moving pieces, really. First, when you slap the ball, you set up in a box, for those of you who don't know. You set up in a box, slap the ball. The guy closest to the ball goes to an upward ball screen. And this is what gets most people. There's a guy who cut down hard, and he's open. And everybody thinks that's the first thing. Wrong. What happens, actually, is a second guy across the screen, across the key, sets a diagonal up screen on the guy who's defending him, so that the original screener can come in unannounced, no problems had, easy money layup. And you would think that a bunch of grade 9 and 10 boys could figure this out, or about, I would say about average intelligence, could figure this out within a couple of tries, max 10. However, this play is intricate. There's a lot of moving pieces. And if one guy doesn't do his job, it blows apart. And so we would practice this play for at least half an hour every day, preseason, until we got it. And now if you, and then I learned it the hard way. Daniel has learned it the hard way. All the guys I've coached have learned it the hard way. And I can guarantee you that with all the preparedness we've done on this play, there's guys who haven't played basketball at Lyndon in forever. We'll call screen the screener, and you'll know exactly what to do, and it'll be automatic. It's just like riding a bicycle. And this level of preparedness is important, because when you're in a game, you're down two, you need a bucket, you call this, and when it runs smoothly and it runs perfectly, it's the easiest 2 points you'll ever get. And how that ties into how you live your life, both on a financial basis, both on a, from a spiritual basis, from a routine basis, that level of preparedness sets you up for success. And so I want you guys to just think about that. A bunch of these 5'8", 5'6" kids, the one brown dude running this play, and it's just poetry in motion. And that doesn't happen at the end of the season without a full year of Mick Jansen, Dalrymple, and Bruce, and
Bruce Bartel.
Bruce Bartel. I was gonna say Bruce Martin. Bruce Bartel driving that into you. Bruce and Rempel started this off, you know, in grade 7 and 8. Took us, we couldn't even get that then. Grade 9 is when we really start to learn, because Jansen's like, no, no, we're running this. And
get it right.
So do you think of any other examples of preparedness that have gone right, that have gone wrong, anything like that?
You know, I'll bring it to the professional level, because I think preparedness for the high school level for us was 90% of the things that we did. You know, I think our starting five could get it fast, but it was getting the rest of the bench to figure it out, and you know, if they're subbed in. So, yeah, I would say at the professional level, there's been a few standouts like that. You look at, we'll start in the NFL. NFL, they've cut down practice time, all this stuff for player safety, and we've probably seen the lowest level of offensive
output
and discipline, and there's such simple offenses that are being run. Everyone's running the same thing because the level of preparing is gone way down. So I see that in the NFL. We see the NBA. In the month of February, we had, I think, 3 or 4 teams that shot over 33 pointers and had less than 5 made.
That's just embarrassing.
Doesn't make sense to me. And most recently, you know, I saw the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry suffered his worst loss against the Boston Celtics. And then actually followed by a 35 point win over the Bucks, which was the second biggest, what do you call that?
Margin of victory
in history, which is pretty cool. But the 57 point loss, I believe it was, they decided to leave, $300 million worth Jaylen Brown open. That was their game plan. They were going to cover everyone else. Porzingis wasn't playing, but let's leave Jaylen Brown open. And Jaylen Brown torched him for 20 points in the first quarter, and the game got away from them real fast. So you see it a lot in sports today. You see it in even the students that we get to coach and play with. They have all the talent, all the athleticism. They're athletic more than ever before, but they have such struggles with their fundamentals and knowledge and basketball IQ. Yeah. And you see the difference with Europeans and the Americans. I saw a great stat where Europeans, they practice 5 times a week. They play once. You know, North Americans, we play 5 times a week and only practice once. And you see the massive difference, right?
Everybody wants to be Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But Steph Curry didn't get to be Steph Curry without thousands of hours, feet set, elbows in, eyes on target, follow through. And he would practice beef all the time. I guarantee you that. His dad was a sharpshooter in the NBA, and he put time in. And you're absolutely right. You know, another example is like Luka Doncic. He came into a couple of seasons just a little piggly wiggly and tried to play his way into shape, and it didn't work out for him. This season, I think even last season, he's coming to camp trimmed down, in great shape, and he's absolutely balling. You see guys all across professional sports. You know, there's guys like Kobe who are maniacal and train. Guys like Shaq who come into camp 30, 40 pounds overweight, because it's that level of mentality and level of preparedness which sets them apart. We all know Shaq is one of the best centers ever. He could have been the greatest player ever. That blend of athleticism and size. You watch some young Shaq clips, unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable. But his level of preparedness and his commitment to being the best NBA player just wasn't there, right? And you look at that today and you hit the nail on the head. Kids just aren't prepared to put in the work to become excellent, right? There was, you know, one easy example for me was in our driveway, we had, when they poured the concrete, they put big slabs through, and I couldn't dribble with my left hand, really, growing up. I spent an entire summer with a basketball, walking up and down that driveway with just dribbling with my left hand, I think grade 7 or 8. Because I knew that if I wanted to get onto the team next year, I had to be able to use dribble well with both hands. And as stupid as it looked, I would spend hours just going up and down, up and down, up and down, trying to dribble the ball, hit that line every single time. I went from going like this and missing around to then starting to slowly put my head up and missing around, and then I got better at it. And then ultimately, I could use both hands, and that, you know, helped me be prepared for the next season when I played against bigger and better guys. But you don't see that commitment in many kids today. And that's not to say that it's all the kids' fault. I'm not trying to imply that. I'm saying the culture of gratification right now is so strong that I should just be on the court because I'm big, or I know somebody, or I like basketball. We all like stuff. Doesn't mean we're automatically going to be good at it, right? I like video games. I've been playing Call of Duty with Daniel for years, and I am still so bad.
Yeah.
Because I don't put as much time into it as I could, but I like it. Doesn't mean I'm going to be automatically good at it. So when I get toasted by these little 13-year-olds who've been playing for hours and hours and hours on end, I can't really get mad because I'm not prepared enough. I don't know the maps. I don't know the loadouts. I barely know the buttons, it feels like. But having that level of preparedness, like I said, sets you up for success.
I remember you used to yell at me, stop looking down while dribbling. You know, you got you know, the ball's there. I feel like that's how you play Call of Duty. You know, you're looking at your controller, trying to figure out what you're trying to do, and then you get shot.
That's cool. That's really cool.
It's been a lot of hours you've played over the time. All right, the game's been the same basically since I was a young teen. Okay.
Yeah, but it could be here. The same guys who are here keep going bigger and putting more hours in. All right. So like, what am I gonna do?
What I'll say is,
go ahead.
Okay, what I'll say is this, is that I think I dropped this on a Sunday last couple weeks too, is that it's 0.02% of kids trying to make it to the NFL will make it. 0.02. I think it's even less for the NBA. And absolutely. So I guess when you talk about preparedness, and we're not saying don't go for your goals. Yes, you put in the work, you do what you have to do. But when we talk about your faith, for example, the same kind of work has to be put in. You know, it's not like you said, you just pop on and you're there, you've made it. It's a constant working thing. And you know, so I'll put it on parents first, right? Parents and guardians, you know, if you are willing to, you know, put your kid into the sports and the performance arts, and that takes a precedent over your Sunday service and stuff like that. You know, it's going to show to your kids what's important, right? And I was encouraging parents and families on Sunday that you know, this foundation that you build into your children, it's so important. It's got to be the most important thing. You got to show them that. And I shared the example of how my parents, they actually let you go play. I remember using that as an excuse. It was you were playing soccer. I think it was some soccer game on a Sunday. And I was like, you let Joel go play soccer on a Sunday. Now you're saying you're encouraging me not to play on a Sunday. And I remember being so furious. I remember punching a hole in the wall. It was about elbow high. And I tried to cover it up with a poster that's like kind of like one of the ones over here, that size over there. And obviously it looked out of space. And they knew I punched a wall, and I remember cursing into my pillow, and I was like, this is so unfair. But I knew that looking back at it now, it's like, that was so huge for me, because I understood that, you know, my faith needs to be the most important thing in my life, not my dreams to become, you know, superstar or make it to the league. So, yeah, what do you have to say?
And I think, like, to add to that, You as a child, and we're not picking on kids right now. We're picking on the conception that we're picking on parents. And I remember coaching a team, and Coach Carter and I have like so many parallels in how we view basketball and like life and things like that. And I remember talking to parents and saying, hey, I was being very open. I was kind of dumb. Like, here's my email if you need anything, like, whatever. I remember this woman, this mom, who loved her kid very much, would write me paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs on why her kid should be playing, what I was doing wrong, blah, blah, blah. And it really infuriated me, because I was very clear in the very first beginning of the season, number one, you gotta show up to practice. That's step one. And at practice, you have to perform. I don't care if you show up to every practice and you put in work, and the person beside you is putting in work, but they're just better than you. They're gonna play. I don't care if you're a superstar athlete and you're awesome. You don't come to practice, you're not playing. You don't have to. If you're not keeping your grades up, you're not playing. It's student athlete. You got to be a student first, because like all the stats say, making it to a professional league, especially like, you know, basketball and football, baseball is a little easier, but still, it's still hard, right? Making any professional league is incredibly difficult.
Making college is difficult for most of these kids.
College, yeah, that's true. Right. And if you don't have the basic skill sets of how to read, how to write, how to do math, how to comprehend problems and solve them, like, what are you going to do? No one's going to hire you as a high school graduate these days. Even McDonald's needs you to know how to use the machine to type and add things up. And we forget that it takes preparedness to get to where you want to go. And I know I'm not going to, and you, I was not going to the NBA after high school. I'm pretty sure I knew in like my heart of hearts in grade 9 that unless I grow 12 inches, I'm not going anywhere. So I spent time preparing myself to be the best basketball player I could be, but I also spent time preparing myself to be a better student, right? So that I can go out into the, get a university degree, go into the marketplace, get a good job, and have stuff instead of sleeping in my parents' basement doing nothing. And I think that you tie into your story about being prepared for your spiritual side of things. You know, we take it, especially here in North America, we take these things for granted. Like, I can go to church and not worry about being hauled off to jail, right? I can say I'm a Christian and not fully live it, and people are going to be okay with it. I can forget to read my Bible or take time to pray. I can make all sorts of excuses, and at the end of the day, I'm still going to be okay. Really, right? I may just be on the fence on things, but I'll be just enough right of center to be feel justified in what I'm doing. But that's not going to prepare you for when trials and tribulations come your way, right? Bad things happen to good people. That's the saying. But God also puts you through things, right? Just like how, you know, there's that old song, Refiner's Fire, right? To get to the gold, you got to go through all sorts of heating and problems, and to get to that beautiful mineral. God will put you through things, and just we hear about trials, we hear about tribulations, and the whole point of going through those things and being allowed to go through those things is to grow. And so, being intentional this year, I want to read my Bible and pray every day, and that seems very simple, but taking that time to be intentional and to spend time with God is important because it's preparing me for whatever's coming next, right? Taking that time, putting in that effort, and I'll be honest, I haven't hit every single day. I've missed a few for sure, but it's being intentional and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to exercise my faith, just like I would exercise my muscles and skills, whatever, exercise my faith for looking towards a desired outcome. And I think that's really what's missing when we talk about sports and relationship and all sorts of stuff in life today.
I think a great correlation to that with sports and faith is the word you said is effort, right? I would also say faithful, right? So with sports, you at least put the effort in. With faith, it's not about your ability, right? It's not about how strong, fast you are, how smart, wise you are, how good looking you are. It's about being faithful. If you put the effort into, you know, saying I'm going to be doing my best to pursue God in all areas of my life, you know, it's not about how strong or smart you are. It's about being faithful. I have a verse here that kind of sticks out as Philippians 4:6-7. It says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And basically this is what's being said here is that, you know, it's God's strength and God's will, and even his faith will empower you. You know, our strength is weak. Our will is weak. You know, you look at the most willed people out there that we know. Look at Michael Jordan and his way to strive to be the greatest ever. And LeBron James, all those people have such great will. But our will, in comparison, is still weak. The human side of us, the human nature to us is wrong, is sinful, right? And God's one that is saying he will help us get to where he wants to take us, where he has this plan, amazing plan for us. And through it all, the more we are faithful, the more we trust in him, which is a really easy thing to say, hard thing to do. the more you trust in him still, you're going to see that absolute change. I've even seen it in you over this last few even months where you've taken that time to say, hey, I want to put my faith in God and more and more. And you, I think you'll attest to this too, that you've seen the growth in yourself, even when things seem difficult and things aren't perfect and things aren't this way, the way that we may want them right away. But God still has a plan. We trust in his plan, and we continue to see some great things that have come, and we continue to see great blessings upon us, and that's what we're called to do. Is it's about living for him, and instead of living for us, that's the desire of our heart now. Yeah, sorry, I got all preachy.
And it's very counterculture.
Big time.
Denying yourself.
Big time.
Right? It's very counterculture, but that's okay. And that's what we want, and it's great, and it's supported by the Bible. And
you see the counterculture.
My encouragement to everyone who's listening or watching.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, you
my
see the
encouragement is, yeah,
you
go
see,
ahead.
You see the counterculture in the top athletes as well, as other guys want to go and out on the weekend, and other guys want to do this and that. You see the ones that are dedicated. They're putting in the work, right? They're putting in when no one else is looking, they are working hard. And that's a great comparison you can have with the Christian faith. That's how God wants us to live. Even when no one else is looking, we are still standing firm in him. Sorry, continue your thought.
No, that's where I was heading is it's not about who can see, right? It's about what you're doing for God. Because God, let's be honest, God doesn't really need us.
Definitely not.
He created everything. He doesn't need us. And in my own head, I always put God into a box, right? And go, God must work this way. No, God doesn't care about the rules of the world. He can do whatever he wants. But he's asking us to be faithful. And just like how Jesus talks about the Pharisees, it's not about us being faithful in a way that we want the world to see. Like, hey, hello, I'm reading my Bible, everybody. No, it's about doing it in your intention has to be right. And if you are intentionally preparing yourself on the sports field, in your job, in your schooling, with your faith, you're setting yourself up for success. And that's going to be, success isn't just everything going right. Success is being able to handle things that are difficult and challenging and are going to stretch you, but living the way you want to do it, handling the way you want to do it, and ultimately growing from that.
That's good. That's really good. Can I ask you one NBA specific question?
Sure.
Out of the teams that I name, you tell me if you think they're prepared, they're true contenders or not. I just got a few because I got questions about some. In the West, what do you think of OKC? Number two or number one right now in the West?
Are they prepared for the finals?
Yes.
No.
OKC, so is it no? What about the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Definitely not.
They're number one currently in the Western Conference.
Okay. Playoffs are a different beast, baby.
The LA Clippers.
Yes.
Okay. New Orleans Pelicans.
Ooh. If you had asked me 3 or 4 days ago, I would have said no. But after watching the beatdown that they gave the Raptors and seeing their style, I'm gonna say yes. I'll agree with you and I'll say yes.
Wow. Well, I haven't said anything. Sure, this is you. This is good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
Okay, they've definitely turned it around. What about the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Oh.
This is assuming all health as well.
Yeah. I think this is a tough one. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I don't think they're ready yet.
They got the Max Strus and the Dean Wade, not Dwayne Wade, Dean Wade. You know, no Gabrielle Union there. He went off, you know.
I'm not sold on their ability to win a seven-game set 4 times in a row.
They're currently third in the East. What about the Orlando Magic? Currently fourth in the East.
Ooh.
One primetime game since Paolo Banchero became a NBA player.
I think similar to OKC, they're not ready.
What about the New York Knicks? if healthy. Sorry, you cut out there again. Say one more time.
Yep, that's my hot take. Not a big Knicks believer.
Not a Knicks believer. Okay, that's pretty much all I got. Those guys are the only ones on the bubble for me. I don't think you're like. Okay, one more. Phoenix Suns. They're sixth in the West.
And everybody's healthy?
If they're all healthy, yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on the Suns because, you know, I saw them take the Nuggets to the overtime and Durant went on them. So that was pretty cool to see. I think they're real for sure. Yeah, I don't think there's any other teams that I really, truly like. Do you believe? I do have a high hope for the Mavericks, but I don't think they're gonna get past the. I think they win a round. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think they can play enough defense.
Yeah, that's it.
Now you give me your take on Orlando and Cleveland, and OKC and the T-Wolves.
Cleveland, I think if obviously there has to be some luck in there if they. I think they could make the Eastern Conference Final. I believe in them. I think they were a tad bit short with their 3-point shooting last year, but the additions of Strus and Yang and even Dean Wade now has come out. Like they're pretty good. They're pretty good. I would say they could.
Yeah, do a shout out to our cousin because he's a big Cavs fan now.
Yeah, there we go. That's our boy. I could see them making the Eastern Conference Final. The Magic? Okay. No, definitely not sold on.
Yeah,
they might get through the first round, especially if they get the broken Knicks. But if they got the healthy Knicks in the first round, they're not beating them.
No.
But I'm also with you on that. I'm not sold on the Knicks as well. And the other teams, OKC, Minnesota, all definitely not contenders. I could see them losing to the Lakers or the Warriors if they made it to the seventh or eighth spot. Even Sacramento... They could maybe beat Sacramento, but I would take Dallas over them as well. Those three teams, Lakers, Warriors, Dallas, I'm taking over.
Yep.
Those two. And
hard to count out LeBron James. Let's be honest.
Big time. And I believe in the Thunder more than the Wolves, but I just don't think they have a secondary guy yet. They need one. They need one to pair with Shea.
They got Canada. 30,000 draft picks to do it.
Yeah, they got to make something happen, but. That's what I got, man. That's what I got. The Raptors are in trouble. We're gonna end up with that sixth pick, so it's great. We're 5 years away from being relevant. So.
Hey, preparing. We're preparing.
5 years of preparation. Ready for the run.
Maybe Scotty makes a big leap. I don't know.
Even if he does.
But they're closer than the Leafs to winning a cup, so.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Don't know about that.
First round flameouts, calling it here, right here, right now.
They beat. We're not even going to be in the conversation, so we're not closer. Hey. Coach, wrap us up for the day. Let them know what we're if we're doing one next week too.
Yeah, we're gonna get ready midweek next week for a release, probably Wednesday, Thursday release at the latest. I hope
should be good.
But yeah, I would say. Great to be back. Easter's coming up, which is a perfect time to invite somebody to church. And if you yourself have been wondering, what do? Just get up and go. Take a shower. Head on down. Sit in the back row. Somebody will come and find and talk to you. I guarantee you. And it could change the trajectory of what you're doing. So make sure you like, subscribe on all the major platforms. Share it out. Get ready for an awesome season 5. It's going to be great. We're looking forward to what God's going to do in our lives and, more importantly, in your lives as well. That's what I got.
All right. That's good for me. Peace out. Thanks for viewing.